What's up, guys? You're listening to Confessions of a Gym Rat, getting you through the 9 to 5 as healthily and happily as possible. Happy Monday, guys. Honestly, this weekend flew by, but at the same time felt like it was 17 years. Friday morning. Honestly, Friday in itself felt like it was a year, but Friday morning feels like years ago. And I'll tell you why I'm talking about Friday morning. In case you're not from the New Jersey, New York area, we had an earthquake on Friday morning. And honestly, I've never experienced an earthquake before. I was talking to some people at the gym and I made a vlog about it. And there's like a little clip on this in my vlog on YouTube. I've never experienced an earthquake. Apparently there was one like, I don't know, 8-9 years ago, something like that. But I don't know. Anyway, I'm sitting at my desk as I'm doing right now and I'm just yada yada, you know, going about my business. And there starts to be like a little bit of rumbling, like stuff on my dresser behind me is starting to shake. And I don't think anything of it because whenever there's like a, not like a garbage truck, but like some like, I don't know, like a landscaper truck, a big truck carrying stuff down my street, it makes a noise and it's kind of like a little like thunder rumble and stuff shakes a little bit. You know, I have like, but there's a window in my room that kind of faces the street and I have some candles. I got like my perfume, some jewelry. So that stuff like rattles a little bit. Nothing out of the norm. So stuff starts rattling and then the rattling and the rumble get pretty loud. All within like 3-ish seconds or so. So I look over at Chloe, who's passed out on my bed, and she remains passed out on my bed. So I'm like, what? Oh, like, am I exaggerating right now? Or is this like louder and more disruptive than it normally is? She doesn't give two shits. So then I turn around, my TV is like fully shaking to the point where I was like, should I go over and grab it? But then in the same breath, I was like, no, I think this is an earthquake and I should go stand in my doorway. So I go and stand in my doorway and then I'm in my doorway and I'm like, do I grab Chloe? Like, is this kind of fucked up? And as soon as, honestly, I couldn't even get through the thought before it was done, but I had gotten to my doorway. My mom was standing in hers and I was just like, is this an earthquake? And she just so casually was like, yep, think so. And I was like, what? Since what? All in like the 10 seconds that this probably lasted, I was thinking about, my mind immediately went to a Cinderella story. Like, you know what the Cinderella story I'm talking about. The OG, the Hillary Duff. And how like, you know, it was like this snow globe, her snow globe broke and her dad went to go get something and her dad died. Like, just the rumbling, I was like, oh my God, like this doesn't happen in New Jersey. This is like a Southern California thing. So after it was all done, I was like, Mom, when do we get earthquakes? And she's like, I've experienced a few in my life. And I was like, wait, what? Where have I been? Honestly, I don't think it was that. It was like a 4.8. So I hadn't heard of anything like disruptive happening as far as, you know, I don't think anyone died, you know, or anything. I don't think anything like serious broke. But who was I talking to? I was talking to someone and they were on like the 60th floor of whatever building in New York City and it started rumbling and they can't use the elevators. Like, you can't use the elevator if there's an earthquake. You got to use the stairs. And they got down like 3 floors and at that point it stopped and they were just like, what are we doing? Like, 60 floors. If this building was coming down, it's coming down, which is honestly a very scary thought, but I guess we get earthquakes. I don't know. I feel like growing up, I always liked living in New Jersey because nothing like that tragic happened. Like, hurricanes would kind of blow through and we'd lose power, but we didn't get tornadoes. Like, we didn't get earthquakes, none of that. And then I was in, oh gosh, was I in 7th grade or 8th grade? I think I was in 7th grade when Hurricane Sandy hit. And that one, even so, like, I guess it's because not that many people died, if I'm remembering correctly, but Hurricane Sandy was the first like natural disaster that I'd experienced, like houses underwater. I remember that whole summer, because my family had a house down the beach by the beach, and by down by the beach, I mean like literally across the street from the beach, because I already live close to the beach. But we would go to this like private beach, and there were starfish, like all of these like sea creatures that you don't normally see that were up on the jetties because all the water had been pushed so far forward. And no, it must have been eighth grade. Was it? I don't know. I'm trying to remember. I used to see, like, my ex-boyfriend from high school had all these pictures of him doing beach cleanups, and for some reason, that's what I remember right now. I don't know. But that was the first like natural disaster that I experienced. And then we had like, we've been hit by hurricanes again, but not really like that. And then must have been, oh gosh, I guess it was 2021. So like 2.5 years ago. And I went to Rutgers, by the way, guys, which if you're not familiar with Rutgers, it's literally on the banks of the Raritan River. Like when you go to Rutgers, it's a whole thing, like on the banks, because it's legitimately on a river. And I grew up going to Rutgers events. My parents went there, blah, blah, blah. 2.5 years ago, we got such a bad rainstorm that the Raritan flooded. Like a big section of New Jersey was covered in water. I actually had to drive through it, and it was the scariest time I've ever been in a car. It hasn't really happened again. Now I see like some streets will get flooded, but I never saw flooding like that in my life. And then last summer, my mom and I went to go out to dinner, and we had this like really kooky waiter. Something, it was a screw loose in him, you know? Something was not there. And he kept telling us like, oh, you guys better eat quick, the tornado's coming. And I was like, what are you talking about? And he's like, I'm a firefighter, don't worry, I'm a volunteer firefighter. They're telling us the tornado's coming. And then there's like a TV screen near us in the restaurant, and it's talking about like, oh, like there's going to be a storm tonight or whatever. It starts getting really ominous outside. So my mom and I are like, okay, maybe we should leave. We were really close to my dad's house. We were probably like 4 to 5 minutes away from my dad's house. So I was like, mom, should we just go to dad's right now? And she was like, no, it's fine. Like, we'll just go home. So we go home, and we drove separately. So I'm in like my big ass Jeep, you know, the wind is rattling my car, like rattling. That was probably the second scariest time I've ever had to drive, because I have a four-door. And the two-door Jeeps are the ones that are really known for like flipping over and whatnot. But in that moment, I thought to myself, oh my God, I might turn over. There was a tornado like two towns over from me. And I'm like, since when do we get tornadoes? I don't even have a basement anymore. We moved a few years ago and we don't have a basement. So I'm screwed. So we got earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes. I don't know, guys. It's giving Cinderella story, Wizard of Oz. I don't know. That's the world, you know, it's one of those things that it's like you can't be scared that these are going to happen, because it only happens once in a blue moon. But then it does happen and you're kind of like, fuck, what if it just went worse than it did? I don't think I talked to you guys about this. I should have brought it up in my hot topics a few weeks ago, but I'll just bring it up now. The Baltimore Bridge collapsed like 2 weeks ago. I woke up and somebody in my family had sent that message. And then I went to the gym and John showed us an actual video. And what the fuck? I've never been afraid of bridges. You know, I don't necessarily like love heights when I'm standing on the edge of it, but I don't care. I go skyscrapers. I've been at top of the Empire State Building. Like, I don't really care. To me, honestly, bridges are really pretty and I like being over water. I never had that, like, I'm scared and terrified of bridges thing, because I was just like, you know, it's the 21st century. Things are structurally sound. It's okay. And then I saw this boat just crash into the Baltimore Bridge, and it unlocked a fear in me. I gotta say, when I'm driving over bridges now, like I was going to and from Hoboken this weekend, it sure does cross my mind. It sure does. But I think like that case was a little bit rare because the boat's engine had failed and it crashed into the bridge and was on fire. So I guess I really only need to start fearing if I see a large ship, container ship coming towards the bridge that I'm on, and then I'll just kick it into high gear. But yeah, that's that shit can happen. Apparently, I said, you know, if you're really scared about bridges, this is like bridges in particular, because you got to go over them. You know, like I go to New York way too often. I can't just be avoiding bridges. It's not like the fall that will kill you, if I'm correct. It's the fact that, like, because if you think about it, you're in your car and water kind of breaks your impact. It's the fact that you can't get your windows and doors open because of the water pressure. So you can't get out and you suffocate. You know, like you can't breathe. There's no air underwater. I don't know if you guys knew that. So I thought to myself, you know, if you're ever really freaking the hell out, just drive with the windows down over a bridge. And then you'll be all right, unless you get decked by another car that falls down. But that's a whole nother problem. Anyway, I guess what I'm trying to say in sum is the world is a fucking whack place and nobody's safe, yet enjoy it. Anyway, though, let's transition to something, talking about something that's a little bit more uplifting. I think you guys will care about this only because it can help you. I, for the past like 3 or so weeks, have switched up the way that I've been eating. So I am a big snacker, guys. I love snack food. I do. It brings me joy in life. It does. However, I switched up the way that I've been eating. So I'm still eating like the same amount of food. I'm just eating like 5 meals instead of like 3 meals and many snacks throughout the day. And let me tell you, my stomach has never felt better. I cannot lie. I'm basically eating all whole foods now. Like I have pretzels for like the only snack, and I put some like cheese in my eggs. So cheese is like composed of a few different things, you know, but I'm eating like, or, and I guess bread, sourdough bread, but I'm eating like sourdough bread, rice, chicken, broccoli, like just kind of sticking to the basics. And my stuff, I have been having a good time. I feel like us girlies, we constantly have to use the restroom, and our stomachs are not agreeing with us. You know, I used to, oh my gosh, this is TMI, but I would spend a lot of time in the morning when I got to work in that office bathroom. But half of the time, I will admit, was sitting on my phone and giving myself a mental pep talk to get through the day. But seriously, guys, my stomach has not never felt better. I can't lie. I'm also taking papaya enzymes, like digestive enzymes, in the morning. I've tried taking those before, though, when I was eating just my old way, and I didn't really notice a difference. But now, doing that and just eating whole foods, I feel great. I haven't felt bloated. I have not felt one instance of bloating in 3 weeks. Isn't that beautiful? If nothing else in life, that is beautiful. So I just wanted to share that with you guys, because I am supposed to be giving you health and fitness advice. And hey, if it makes me feel better, I hope it makes you feel better. So I'm gonna shamelessly plug myself here. And if you need help with your diet and you're struggling and like you don't like the way you're feeling, you don't like the way you look, both, reach out to me, listwithliz.com for macro coaching, and we'll get your tummy right. Because now I think I've cracked the code and I found the key to success. All right, let's get into some hot topics for the week. I honestly, guys, cannot wait for the hot topics, not next week, but the week after, because that's when Taylor Swift's album will be out. And I will go on and on and on about it. But for now, we're going to talk about Travis Kelce instead. Arnold Schwarzenegger was on this week's episode of the New Heights podcast, which I love, except I do have one complaint. Not that me voicing this is going to change anything. There are times, and I appreciate their energy, but there are times that Jason Kelce is screaming into the microphone, and it makes me severely uncomfortable and does not process well. Like through the microphone. Okay. He was introducing Arnold, and he's done the same thing with other people. Like I listened to Saquon's interview with them, and he gets very hyped and he gets very animated, but I think he forgets that there's a microphone in front of him, and then whoever's editing the podcast like doesn't do the best job, I'm not gonna lie, and keeps the audio at full volume. So then you just have like screeching, you know, when people yell so much into the microphone that you can't even make out what they're saying, it just sounds like scratchy noises because of the feedback. Like that's what it sounds like, and I get very uncomfortable for like the 5 seconds that it happens. But nonetheless, a fantastic episode. I could listen to Arnold talk forever. I just think he's so amazing, which sounds like I could not. That was such a fangirl sentence of me. But seriously, like hearing him talk about all the stuff he's done, I'm like, how are you a real person? And I like that he's humble, and but he's just he's humble, but he's truthful. You know, like he's like, I'm not a self-made man. Like I had a lot of people help me, but yeah, I've done fucking awesome things and I like to be number one. And that's the attitude that we all need to carry. I'm going to get more into him later into this episode and more a little bit on the episode itself. But my highlight from the episode was the fact that Jason Kelce said that he's been 295 for his entire career and then shocked. I texted my brother and said, oh my God, like Jason Kelce's 295 pounds. What a load. And my brother goes, it's kind of small for a lineman. And I was like, what? What? I have no concept. Listen, I know that these are big guys, but I just can't imagine. I just can't imagine. Like he could sit on me and I would die. I would suffocate. So I'm very interested actually to see his post-career like fitness journey. He did say he's been trying like different things now, obviously, and has different goals. So I'm very interested in seeing where that comes from. That's like the main takeaway that I had from the podcast, because I do want to get a little bit into Arnold's book later and some inspirational. I have a little inspirational episode for you guys today. I think it's really going to get you into the gear. Does that make any sense? It's going to put you in a gear on this Monday. I think that you guys know what I mean. It's going to fire you up. You're going to want to do good things, okay? But first, we have to get into some weekly highlights before the fun. I gotta give you that. So, no brainer. This week's health and fitness related highlight goes to my leg day on Thursday. I was fighting nausea the entire time, and I had Zena there to push me. I think I'm finally now, it's Monday, I am finally not feeling sore anymore. It took a piece out of my life, and I'm not being dramatic. I had to train clients after that, and the whole time I felt like I was on another planet. It took a piece out of my life. I have battle wounds from the hack squat like you would not believe. But I needed that. I needed that. It feels so good. We all work out for different purposes, guys. Some people, it's different goals, different purposes. And for me, sometimes it gets a little monotonous, you know, going to the gym and not really having a purpose. So having somebody there to keep me accountable and push me really helped. my workout. And then the hardest part is pushing yourself and getting yourself through it. And then when it's over, you're like, I feel fucking fantastic because I just did that. I just did something absolutely amazing for myself. I always tell my clients, you're never going to leave the gym and go, wow, wish I didn't do that today. But the hardest part is pushing yourself through it, especially when you feel pain. So that's this week's health and fitness related highlight. Non-health and fitness related highlight, I'm honestly just going to give to the fact that I went out this weekend and stayed out past midnight. Okay. I don't know if that counts as like the most enjoyable part of my week, like a highlight in that sense, but it's a highlight as in I'm proud of myself. Okay. Because I've always been like a very routine person, but upon graduating college, I've become even more routine. Like, I like to sleep in my bed. I don't like to start the morning in another person's home with my makeup on. And then you wake up, you get breakfast, you talk, you chit chat. Then by the time I get home, it's halfway through the day. Like, I've got things to do. So I've been kind of a bum lately. Like, I'll go out and stuff, but then like midnight will come around and I'm tired and I'll just go home. So I pushed myself this weekend. Thank you very much. Round of applause. Thank you. But no, seriously, I was just allowing myself to vibe and I think what helped is I didn't wear my Apple Watch out. Normally I'm like, subconsciously like check my watch all the time during my workouts, like just sitting, I'm always checking my watch. So I think when I'm out, it's just like time seems to be moving so slow because I'm always checking my watch. I left it at home and just lost track of time. And it felt fantastic to do. And I'm proud of myself for socializing. So now I can be a bum this weekend. All right, so you guys are constantly asking me about books that I read and whatnot. And I've talked about it on Instagram. I think I've talked about it on the podcast too, that I read, honestly, this is a couple months ago. This is back in like January now. I read Arnold Schwarzenegger's new book, Be Useful, 7 Tools for Life. And I did watch the Arnold documentary on Netflix and just like listening to him speak and stuff like that. I feel like there was a lot of stories that I knew, but the advice, like as far as self-help books, this one's probably one of my favorites, and maybe I'm biased because I enjoy the weightlifting talk, but I feel like as helpful as other self-help books are, there's no fluff to this. There's no fluff to Arnold, period. There's no it's not like follow your dreams, blah, 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 blah. It's legit. And the whole premise of it was like his dad used to say to him back in Austria, you know, be useful, Arnold, like instead of just sitting around and putzing around or whatever, like be useful, do something useful. And I feel like my ADHD, honestly, and just maybe the way that I was raised to, I don't know, I have a very hard time sitting down and not being useful. You know, even yesterday I had no work and I could have just sat in bed and like relaxed and stuff. And I find myself like I'm doing all these things, I'm cleaning out, like I can't just sit there and not be useful. And I read the book and it was great and I took a lot of great stuff from it. And then I put it back on the shelf, but I listened to New Heights this week when Arnold was on. And he started talking about his book again, and it just kind of relit this passion in me and like this fire. So I decided that I wanted to come on and kind of talk to you about his 7 Tools for Life in case you don't feel like picking up the damn book and reading it, although you should. And hopefully it fires you up today. He starts off by saying, you know, before you get into anything, before you get into good practices and rules and setting out a plan, you need to have a vision. What are you aiming for if you don't have a vision? You know, like what are, like if you are not sure, if there's not a clear cut what is the end line, what are you working towards? You know, and that's kind of how I felt in my corporate job, where it was like I didn't have a vision there. You know, like at first I did. It was to move up off the entry level team that I was on and get this new role, like That was my vision. That was the goal since day one, was to move up and get promoted and get off this entry-level team. And then I got off the entry-level team and I never replaced the vision. And what do you know? Slowly over time, I mean, listen, that wasn't my passion anyway, but it just, everything kind of fell apart with it. And I practice the same thing with my clients. You know, we are taught to give our clients SMART goals. So if you come to me and you're like, I want to lose weight or whatever, that's great. But what's your, like, what's the actual vision? What's the tangible vision? Can you picture yourself on your wedding day? What do you look like? What clothes are you buying? Like, what are the metrics? Like, what are the what's the end goal? Because your vision of saying, I want to lose weight is not clear. You could lose 2 pounds in the next month, and that's technically losing weight. But I'm going to guess that you're not going to be satisfied after that. This is probably my favorite tip because it makes you sit back and wonder, what is my vision? You know, like, okay, I'm working my ass off. Even going to the gym, it's like, okay, I'm putting in all this work, but what am I working towards? You know, and for some people, it might be to grow this muscle. For some people, it might be to lower my cholesterol. It's all different, but you're going to find more success when you know what you're working towards. Put that into perspective. The next tip that he has, or the next tool, is to never think small. And I resonate with this a lot. Listen, we're not all going to take this advice. We're not all going to read this book. We're not all going to be inspired from it. And because of reasons like that, we're not all going to do great things. Not everyone's going to be a 7-time Mr. Olympia, or even a 1-time Mr. Olympia, or even an Olympian qualifier. Not everyone's going to be the mayor or the governor or the president. Not everyone's going to be a blockbuster movie star. We're not all going to be that way. And it really comes down to how we're utilizing these tips and these tools. You know, never think small. I feel like, and I love my family, I really, really do, but I was born into a cookie cutter family, and that's not a bad thing. You know, like, I'm very blessed that I grew up secure. I have 2 parents who are smart and have stable jobs, and they raised me in a great way, I think, at least. But I have big aspirations, and that's why I'm sitting down on this podcast talking to you now. And it's very easy to take the safe route and to think the safe way and to not think big or have a big vision. But if nobody did, what would be accomplished? Somebody had to take a risk and create Google. I don't know. Like, if you don't try when you're young, and that's how I feel right now, like, quitting my job is, I have time right now to fall on my face because I'm young. And thankfully, I come from a family that has a roof over their head, that, like, if I fall on my face, like, I won't be homeless. If I don't try now, I never know what I'll be. I never know. The third tool, and this is probably my, I said have a clear vision. It's my favorite. This is my favorite, second favorite. Work your ass off. Those are his exact words. And I love Arnold for his bluntness. And I think part of it is I have an immigrant father. My mom's not an immigrant, but I do come from an immigrant parent. And the way that, like, having an immigrant parent, you're raised very differently because they know what it's like to not come from anything most of the time. You know, I mean, yeah, I don't know. You could be the Lisa Vanderpump's an immigrant. She's fine right now. But my dad came from really nothing and had to work his ass off. So he instilled in us, you know, life's not a free ride. You want something, you work for it. There was multiple times that my dad almost got kicked out of college for not having enough money to pay for school, but he worked his ass off, had multiple jobs, and he did it. If you don't, I don't know. I just have a very, like, I have no empathy or I have no sympathy for people who don't work their ass off. I have no empathy for it either, really, because we all have the option. You know, there's so many people right now that are working their ass off, and maybe their vision is, I want to have dinner on the table every night. You know, I've been grinding, and this has sound so cheesy. I can't believe I'm about to say this. I've been grinding since I was able to. I started working in seventh grade. I remember, like, in New Jersey, I think the legal age to work, like, a part-time job is 16 years old. I was 15 years old, and my parents found a loophole that I could be a camp counselor over the summer because it's not a part-time job, it's a seasonal job. And I made absolute crap money. I had to watch these gross-ass children, no offense, but they were really mean, all day sweating my butt off in the woods when everybody else my age was at the beach and whatnot. In college, I took 15 credits in the business school and worked an internship my sophomore year before people got internships and worked as a personal trainer. I have no tolerance for not working your ass off. You know, I don't. All right, tool number four. Sell, sell, sell. And honestly, guys, online, that's all that I do. I mean, I did actually work and have a sales career, but it's what he's trying to say by this, and I'm trying to find a coherent way to say this, is that you need to trust and believe in yourself enough. And if you really want to be useful and make something, you need to be okay with putting yourself out there. You can't be afraid to make cold calls. You can't be afraid to go hand out flyers places or in people's mailboxes. You can't be afraid to ask for emails. Shoot your shot. Essentially, you do miss 100% of the shots you don't take. That's what Michael Scott said that Wayne Gretzky said. Hopefully you got that reference, but I feel like sell, sell, sell comes with work your ass off. They're kind of paired together. That's part of the working your ass off process. And I think the more that you go through the process of selling it, whatever it is, the more confident in it that you'll become. All right, the next tip or the next tool. I keep saying tip, they're like tools. You need to shift gears. And I'm not going to lie, guys, this was something that really like was a pivotal moment in my life. Shifting gears can kind of be different, but it's more of like a shift in your mindset and your life process. You know, like for me, I shifted gears when I decided to get on medication for my anxiety. And then once my anxiety was out of the way, everything just started to take off with myself, with my businesses, like with my page. Shifting gears definitely is different for everybody, but your mindset will make or break you. If you can't look at failures and find lessons from them, you're not going to grow and you're not going to be useful or do something great. And that kind of gets paired with tool number six, which is shut your mouth and open your mind. And this is a fantastic one. I think like shifting gears can also mean, you know, be a more receptive person. You have to be open-minded and open to feedback. Not everyone's going to have good things to say. Not everyone's going to have useful things to say. A lot of people are stupid, actually, and have very stupid things to say. But some people, like hopefully yourself, aren't. And we need to be open-minded, because maybe they say stupid things, but that thing could spark an idea for something else. We could lead to something else and else and else. And if you're so close-minded, you're simply never going to grow. You can't do everything by yourself. Okay. Even like Arnold's whole thing is, I'm not a self-made man, because he's not. Other people helped him along the way. You know, all of us. None of us can fully operate on our own as autonomous as we want to be and independent as we want to be. We need assistance or inspiration from other people, and you can't do that with a closed mind. I'm actually going to read you a quote from this book. I have a rule. You can call me Schnitzel. You can call me Termy. You can call me Arnie. You can call me Schwartzy, but don't ever call me a self-made man. When I was younger and my written English comprehension skills weren't as good as they are now, it always confused me when people called me that. Self-made man? I knew it was a compliment, but I still thought, what were these people talking about? What about my parents? They literally made me. What about Joe Weider? He brought me to America and made my earliest dreams a reality. What about Steve Reeves and Reg Park? They made it possible for me to dream about going from bodybuilding to movies in a realistic way. What about John Milius? He made me Conan the Barbarian. And this is kind of like the full circle moment of the book where Break Your Mirrors, which is his last tool, is really in regards to giving back. You know, like, you're not a self-made man because somebody helped you, but now that you know what you know and have done what you done, like have done, what are you doing to help other people? And that's kind of like how I feel with my page. And the whole reason why I started before I even accomplished anything with the page was like, I want to help people, because Whitney Simmons was on Instagram teaching me what to do and got me in love with the gym, so I can do that for other people, you know. And is that one make or break for success and accomplishing great things? No, but it's make or break for being useful. I actually think that this is actually the most useful tool. So break your mirrors and share your education with people, because you never know what you might inspire. I don't know, but I really, really like this book. It's Be Useful, 7 Tools for Life by Arnold Schwarzenegger. I hope you guys get it. And I hope you guys just, something, a small spark or a large fire was lit inside of you by me rambling about these 7 tools for the past 20 minutes. All right, guys. Well, that pretty much wraps up this week's episode of Confessions of a Gym Rat. I hope you enjoyed this little motivational episode. I'm going to recap everything on Instagram too, so make sure that you follow the podcast on Instagram at Confessions of a Gym Rat. And follow me on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok at List with Liz. I hope you have a happy and healthy week, and I'll talk to you next time.